listen to the monkey.
I am afraid that I have much news, and most of it is terrible.
Welcome to The Mind Killer, the rationalist brain on politics. As always, I'm Wesley Fenza.
And I'm Inyash Brodsky.
And we have no David today, because you might have noticed that this episode is out a bit later than normal. It's actually April 11th right now, which is a Thursday.
Damn.
Which is 3 days later than we normally record. This is episode 106, and we're late for eclipse-related reasons. We were all out watching the eclipse at our normal recording time, and we've all just gotten home. And David is still traveling.
Yeah, David had
and
some...
And we were like, yeah.
He had some major car issues along the way.
Yeah, and we're like, all right, I don't think we can push it back any further. Our fans. Think of the fans.
Yeah. There's you know, some fans that are actually fans of David, and they'll have to suffer, but they're a minority, so it's okay.
poor David lovers suffering so badly right now.
I know. Maybe they can pool their money and, like, get him a new car.
Or, you know, just subscribe on Substack.
That would be an even better idea, because then right? You and me would get some money, too.
Yeah, but, you know, mostly for David.
Yeah, mostly for David.
Just do it for David.
Just put a little note that says this is for David, and we'll totally give him extra from that.
If you people had subscribed enough already, David would already have a new car, and this wouldn't have happened, and he'd be on the episode. So really, you did this to yourselves.
Yeah, you got no one else to blame.
All right, so we got some feedback. So Gabriel on the Discord pointed out something about our story that we covered previously about Uber and Lyft leaving Minneapolis. So they had left because Minneapolis, put these minimum wage laws in. And Uber and Lyft were like, well, we can't be profitable with that, so we're out.
Yeah.
Apparently, they did something similar in Austin, where Austin passed some regulations that they didn't like. And they're like, well, this ruins our business, and they left. And then a bunch of local companies sprouted up. They're like, all right, we'll be rideshare. And they, you know, they all competed with each other, and everything seemed to be working. And Uber and Lyft were like, what? Oh, man. And then came back.
Yeah.
So this might just be a negotiation tactic. Minneapolis might get their Uber and Lyft back at some point. Pretty fucked up, though, that they're both doing it. And, like, especially in Austin, that they both came back at the same time.
Yeah.
Like, that's not how markets are supposed to work.
It seems like there might be something going on.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't even need to be explicit collusion, but they're, like, the two companies, so I'm sure they just watch each other. And they're like, well, if they're doing it, we'll do it.
Yeah. I wonder what happened to those local competitors. I mean, I'm assuming they just got smushed, which kind of sucks. It would be, like, really cool for Minneapolis if all of a sudden they had a whole bunch of cool local competitors trying to compete on features and pricing.
Yeah. I mean, I guess the network effects are the main barrier to entry.
Mm-hmm.
Because every Uber driver also drives for Lyft.
Yeah.
They probably, you know, it's probably just annoying to get, like, a third or fourth app on your phone. And then be like, well, let me check all five of these, you know?
Right. So it's annoying for the drivers. I guess we should consider them.
Well, yeah, and the customers, because they don't want to check, like, five different services and comparison shop. That's annoying. They're trying to get somewhere.
Well, then you can have the Uber, which collates all the Uber-like services and picks the best-priced one for you.
That would be sweet.
Yeah, little umbrella app.
Get a you probably get the AIs to do that for you.
I would call it Uber Alles if I was in charge of it.
That's a pretty good name.
Thank you very much.
Sadly, probably can't call it anything Uber.
I don't think they have a lock on the German language.
No, but I think they have a lock on the word Uber as it relates to ride sharing.
But this, fine. I don't want to take Uber to court because they have more lawyer money than I have. I'm not even doing this.
All right, we have another feedback from Kieran.
Yes. Kieran was following up on a prediction that David made way back in episode number 12 in 2020.
What?
Almost
were we even doing episodes back then?
Apparently, we had done a double digit number of episodes back at that point.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's crazy. I guess David predicted that within a few years after Trump leaving office, the Postmaster General would be charged in the legal system.
Oh, yeah. I have a vague memory of this.
I have because, no recollection of anything like this.
Yeah, he put in, like, an obviously corrupt Postmaster General, and he was like, I don't think he was obviously corrupt. I think he was, like a business guy, and he's like, all right, we're going to run the post office like a business. But there was some There was some like specific thing he wanted to do that I don't think ever actually happened.
I don't recall anything, and I didn't go back and listen to the episode. Did you?
Yeah, me neither. No, I did not.
Yeah.
But apparently David predicted he would do a bunch of crimes and get caught for it, and he did not. He's still the Postmaster General.
Huh. Well, I mean, mad props to David for putting his neck out like that and making a testable prediction.
Yeah, but the opposite of that for being wrong.
Yeah. So if you support David making awesome predictions, then give us some money. And if you want to rub it into his face for being wrong, then give us some money.
All right. Now we've got an update on another story. So remember, I think it was last episode, it might have been a couple episodes before, we said that the federal judiciary gotten rid of judge shopping.
We did say that.
All right, well, here's the update. Judge shopping's back on the menu, boys.
Oh, no. What happened?
Yeah, apparently, individual district courts can just not cooperate with this. And be like, yeah, they're like, well, this is actually like an optional rule, and we're not going to follow it.
What is the point of having a rule like that if it's so completely optional?
I mean, the federal judiciary used to be the kind of place where you would announce that sort of thing and everyone would be like, ah, yes, we think this is wise. We'll go with it. But not anymore. And the notorious district in Texas where everyone does their judge shopping has announced that they will not be making any changes to their selection procedure.
Damn.
So keep on judge shopping. All right. Well, and now we're on to new news.
Woo-hoo!
All right. What's the news from Israel?
There's two big things out of Israel that happened recently. I guess the first one is that Israel assassinated several Iranian generals via... Okay, the notes say drone strike, but I don't believe it was a drone strike. I think it was fighter jets that actually shot missiles into an embassy in Syria. The embassy in Syria part actually seems to be a pretty big deal. A lot of nations are like, look... You can kill people in Iran if they're Iranian, but if they're in a Syrian embassy, you're treading on all sorts of international norms that we really do not want to be fucked with. So they're getting a lot of flack over this particular airstrike in Syria to kill Iranian generals.
Yeah, so they shot Iran's embassy in Syria.
Yes, which is technically Iranian ground.
Yeah, but probably, you know, Syria... you know, has some say over that.
Yeah.
So that seems... Yeah. I mean, killing Iranian generals, I'm usually in favor of that.
I usually am too.
Those guys are assholes.
One of these Iranian generals was the one responsible in charge of getting ammunitions and training to Hezbollah troops.
Hey.
Yeah, and those guys been fucking lobbing shit into Israel for a while now. And are they the... No, they're not the ones that are... They're firing at ships in the Red Sea, are they?
No, that was the Houthis.
That's right. There's so many people over there with H's
but in their also name. Funded by Iran.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, good thing to do overall, but probably not a great way to go about it. It's been interesting because Iran has really stepped up their rhetoric because due to this. They say they are absolutely going to strike back at Israel, that this cannot go without some sort of reprisal of at least equal measure. And Israel has been saying in turn that if Iran attacks them, they're going to hit back at Iran. So this, I mean, I don't want to be crying wolf here. But Jesus, man, we're getting really close to a major Middle East war.
Yeah, international norms about this stuff is so weird. Because, like, it's apparently cool for Iran to fund terrorist groups that attack Israel, and that you're not supposed to shoot at Iran for that. You're supposed to shoot at the group they're funding.
I think you can shoot at Iran, but also it would have to be in Iran or... near where the terrorists are, not in an embassy. Embassies are kind of like the hallowed ground of the international sphere. They're like the you don't rush your barbarian hordes. Well, you don't rush your army into a church and start slaughtering the priests, kind of thing.
Well, you know, the current conflict doesn't seem to be honoring those rules.
It does not.
But the thing about international norms is that as weird as they are, that's why we don't have nuclear war.
Yeah.
Like, we can fund Ukraine, and Ukraine can go fight Russia, and Russia's not going to start shooting at us.
Right.
Right? And we're not going to shoot at Russia.
Yeah, which is weird.
Yeah.
But it works.
But we can give the guns to the other guys so they can shoot at Russia and be like, yes, take these guns and shoot them at Russians.
Yeah.
But that's still not us shooting at Russia.
Yeah.
And it doesn't make any sense. But again, that's why we're not involved in a nuclear war.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of important.
Yeah.
So, what else is going on in Israel?
The other big thing that happened is that the World Central Kitchen, which is a really good aid agency, honestly, they're not UN affiliated. They're entirely run by this one dude who was just like, you know what? Fuck your stupid regulations, FEMA and UN and all you other places. I got a lot of money. I know how to do food. I'm just going to go in and give food to people that are starving.
Yeah, it's run by like a celebrity chef, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Jose Andres.
I love this guy. He's amazing with what he does. He's amazing that he flaunts the rules and just gives food to people. My brother actually volunteered for the World Central Kitchen for several months during the Ukraine conflict. Not in Ukraine, right next door in Poland.
Shit.
Yeah, yeah. I'm a big fan of them. And they do go to dangerous places. Like, they put their lives on the line sometimes to get food to people. And sometimes that does mean that people get killed. And in this particular case, Israel hit three cars that were leaving after unloading food into a warehouse that had aid workers in them, killed seven of those World Central Kitchen aid workers. And it's getting a lot of attention because it wasn't just like a single strike. These cars were singled out due to some, I don't know, bad intelligence, fog of war, something. They thought that they were bad cars with bad people in them in the middle of the night. And when some of the people survived and started driving away, they hit the remaining cars, and the cars are spread out over like a mile and a half on this highway. But everyone in those cars is dead.
And it was on an approved aid route.
Yeah.
And they had, the IDF had been updated with like, okay, we're sending these cars.
Yeah.
Somehow, like, I mean, there's a lot of speculation like, oh, well, they must have done it on purpose.
No.
I just don't, like, that would be so dumb.
Yeah. It would be literally the dumbest thing in the world.
Yeah.
Like,
like maybe some guy in the IDF went rogue and ordered the strike.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how it was on purpose. But like, the Israeli leadership did not do this on purpose, because it was entirely predictable the response they would get.
Yes. They have already, they've reprimanded several people in charge and dismissed two commanders due to this incident.
Yeah. But this is a bad fuck up.
Oh, this is hugely bad.
And it's turning a lot of their allies into less reliable allies, including the United States.
Yeah, which is awful, because Hamas is just terrible. Like, literally, maybe I should save this for a troop deployment, I'm not going to say it, but just absolutely horrid people and need to be completely destroyed. And the fact that maybe they won't be because of this is really a bad thing.
Yeah, I mean, if Hamas isn't destroyed, it's not going to be because of this. It's going to be because they are hiding behind civilians.
Yeah.
And the world won't tolerate Israel killing, you know, all the civilians to get to Hamas.
I will say this is really bringing out a lot of the hidden anti-Semitism in people. Where I've talked to people who literally said, oh no, this was entirely on purpose. And I'm like, you know, they're setting up an actual temporary harbor that can bring in aid, and they could just bomb that if they wanted to. Like, no. They're sneaky. They say they accidentally killed these people, but everyone knows it was on purpose to send the clear message that we will randomly assassinate aid workers, and so all the aid workers will stop coming. Like, it's very much a, they must have done it on purpose to scare away anyone that would want to help the Gazans.
Yeah, I mean, the idea that the Israeli leadership wants to starve Gaza is not ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're towing a very fine line. Like, I think that if the international community would tolerate it, they would just bulldoze Gaza and kill everyone there.
Okay.
So they're kind of balancing that against, like, well, we still need international support. If they could make it so everyone in Gaza died, but somehow it wasn't their fault, like, I think they'd go for that. But I just think this was, like, way too ham-fisted for a thing that the leadership actually thought was a good idea.
Yeah.
All right, next story. The Francis Scott Key Bridge outside of Baltimore has collapsed because a giant barge hit it.
The hell?
Yeah. Did you see the video?
I did.
Yeah, it's like it just smacks into it and the whole thing falls down.
Yeah.
And it looks like you're looking at something in miniature, because these barges are so huge.
Mm-hmm.
That's basically the whole story. This will have some impact on international shipping because there's a big port right there, which is why that barge was there.
Isn't like a sixth of the East Coast shipping traffic go through that port or used to go through that port?
That sounds like too much.
Too much? Okay.
But the port can still operate once the bridge gets cleared. So they don't have to rebuild the bridge for the port to operate.
Yeah, but I hear even clearing out the port so it could operate again is going to take on the order of a year plus.
Oh, was that wrong? God. I mean, look, it's the government, so you're probably right. Mm. But it definitely should not take that long. You just got to pick up the shit in the water.
Oh, no, it definitely shouldn't take that long. But if so, we have talked about the Jones Act more than once. Did we ever talk about the Dredge Act?
No.
The Dredge Act is like the Jones Act for dredging ships. And it,
oh, so the dredging ships all have to be, you know, American-made?
Yes. So, first of all, they're expensive. And second of all, the industry has been retarded because we didn't have a lot of competition. It's bad.
That sounds bad. So what we got to do is we got to build giant robots that can just wade into the water and pick up the crane.
Our AI overlords will save us again.
Don't act like we need AI to do that. We could build a giant robot right now. We just chose not to.
And we should make them so only 14-year-olds can pilot them.
Yeah, and you have to have two of them whose brains are linked.
Oh, that's a different one, but that would also work, actually. Either one of those is fine.
All right. But the important thing is we teach them kung fu.
Yes, absolutely. So all right, afterwards, good. They can fight each other.
No, they have to fight the kaijus.
We don't have any kaijus. Do we have to genetically engineer kaijus, too?
No, don't you? If you build a giant robot, we're definitely going to get attacked by a kaiju. Don't you know anything about story structure?
If we build it, they will come.
Exactly.
Awesome.
That's what that movie was about.
Yeah. I guess two things to mention is that there was a major power outage on the barge, and they tried to reboot it and get it going in time. You can see the lights flick real fast, but it did not get back in time and just plowed right into the bridge.
Yeah, but they did manage to warn the people on the bridge, so there were actually no cars on it at the time, but there were some, like, construction workers. And I don't understand why they didn't leave.
Because it's a very long bridge. How are they going to get out of there? Also,
I guess, were they like evacuating at the time?
So here's the whole thing. This is almost kind of like a awesome story of human competence that makes you go like, America, fuck yeah, or just humanity, fuck yeah, where there was literally 4 minutes between when people realized what was happening and when the barge hit the bridge. And in that time, there was all the...
Oh my God, I don't think I've ever driven across that bridge in under 4 minutes.
Oh, really?
Yeah, man, it's a long bridge, and bridges are constantly getting backed up.
Okay. Well, I mean, this was in the middle of the night, so there was no backups on it.
Oh, well, that's good.
Yeah. But there was all the comms chatter like you hear when there's a major plane emergency. We're just like comm people talking quickly to each other, not wasting any words. Yeah, that kind of thing, like shutting down the bridge, getting all the cars out of there. It was really kind of inspiring how quickly they cleared everything out, how everyone stayed cool and calm under pressure and did what needed to be done. And then near the end, once all the cars are out, one of the guys on the comms is like, there's construction workers on there. Can we get them out? Can we get a message to them somehow? Is there a radio there? And one of them floated the idea, maybe I should just run out there, like in a car, and grab them. And that was like seconds before it hit the thing and it collapsed. So
that would have been the most badass rescue ever.
Oh my God. Yeah. So that sucks. Did they all die? Last I heard, two of them might have survived and were in the hospital.
Oh, I think seven of them died.
Oh, I think that's all
of them. So maybe there were two that survived. I don't know.
Okay.
But yeah, last I heard was that they were doing recovery, not rescue.
Yeah, because it's a huge fall.
Yeah. All right. Well, while we're on bummer news, Eniaj, tell us about Paxlovid.
Paxlovid, the amazing antiviral that has been used to treat COVID, which we have talked about many times. Apparently, if you're fully vaxxed, like gotten the 4 jabs or 5, depending on how many boosters you're up to, Paxlovid doesn't make a difference. In a study conducted, the control group that did not get Paxlovid had basically the same symptoms and lasted the same long as the ones that did take Paxlovid if they were fully vaxxed, which on the one hand means that vaccines are doing a fair bit here to help us fight the COVID, but on the other hand also means that there's not much point in getting Paxlovid. It's not going to clear out any faster if you do.
Yeah, although they did say they didn't do this study on old people. So.
That's true.
Also, I'm just like, I'm so skeptical because I'm like, maybe the people with vaccines just didn't get severe symptoms. Mm-hmm. And one of the things Paxlovid does is prevents severe symptoms. So I don't know. There might still be outliers. I don't know.
Isn't that just saying Paxlovid doesn't make a difference? If the vaccine prevents you from getting severe symptoms and Paxlovid prevents you from getting severe symptoms?
I'm trying to see how many. Okay, so this was like 650 people that mm-hmm. took Paxlovid. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's probably accurate. Mm. This was also though conducted from July 2021 to July 2022.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
So fully vaccinated at that time would have been only 3?
Yeah, it would have been 3, and you know, it would be a different variant.
Yeah.
But also, July 2022 was almost 2 years ago.
It was.
Why didn't anyone tell us this before? I've definitely taken Paxlovid after that.
Me too.
So what the fuck was the holdup?
I mean, they wouldn't want to be spreading misinformation, Wes.
I suppose not.
That will get you put into media jail.
Yeah, they had to make sure they found a prestigious journal to publish in, I suppose.
Yeah.
Go through that peer review. You know, the thing that makes sure no misinformation ever gets published.
Honestly, it probably was really hard to find a journal that would take this at all.
You think?
Due to the whole, anything, I don't want to say being contrary to the government, because this isn't contrary to the government, but it's kind of contrary to the government. Anything not supporting the government message would have had a really hard time getting published.
No, this says vaccines are great.
That's
true. That was a government message. The government, I don't think the government ever was pushing Paxlovid.
Yeah, they were.
Were they?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, Fauci probably squelched it then.
No.
You know how that guy is.
Honestly, I don't think there was any collusion at
all. Mister, I am the science.
I really doubt the government had anything to do with it. I think it was just the journals being like, we didn't want to touch this.
Yeah, I think you're right. All right. Next story. We got Florida abortion news.
What's happened with abortions?
So on the same day, the Supreme Court issued two rulings. One was upholding Florida's 6-week abortion ban. So, sucks for you, Florida.
Meaning that you can't get abortions after 6 weeks.
Correct.
Lame.
For any... I think it's life of the mother is the only exception.
Okay.
Maybe. It might be rape and incest, too. But they also approved a ballot measure for the November election.
Okay, what's that ballot
would,
measure?
The ballot measure would be would guarantee the right to an abortion.
Ooh, that's going to be a popular ballot measure.
Yeah, it is going to be a popular ballot measure. It needs 60% to pass, but it's probably going to get it. It's polling above 60% right now.
I mean, a lot of Republicans also really love the abortion rights, at least some level of abortion rights.
Yeah, and it goes back to Roe, basically. It says abortion's legal before fetal viability, which is around 24 weeks.
Yeah.
So that would be good.
That would be very good.
Also, probably will drive turnout in Florida.
Do you think
for Democrats?
I mean, yeah. I don't know. Do you think it would actually make a difference?
I don't think Biden's going to win Florida.
Okay.
But I think it'll be closer than it otherwise would be, and it might help some down ballot candidates.
Okay.
So
basically, good news as long as you don't need an abortion in the next 10 months.
I mean, not really, because there's no guarantee this ballot measure is going to win.
That's true.
Like, it's polling at slightly above 60%, mm-hmm. but that can change. Turnout could be weird. Something could happen. You know, Trump could cheat somehow.
Oh, man.
You know he's planning to.
Well, the interesting thing is that Trump would support this ballot, so I don't think that would be
he would
harmful
not.
To the ballot. He would not?
No. Well,
Do you not see what's 2 bullet points down?
Well, let's talk about that.
Okay.
So, moving from Florida over to Arizona, Arizona has resurrected a 19th century law banning abortion.
And the 19th century was in the 1800s due to how weird centuries are with the numbering.
That's correct. This law says abortion is completely banned for any reason other than to save the mother's life at any point.
That's crazy.
Starting at conception.
And this is like from 1864 or some shit?
I think it's from earlier than that. I think it's from like the 1830s.
Yeah.
Like pre-Civil War. And they had passed a law after Roe versus Wade banning abortion before 15 weeks. And you know, I think everyone kind of thought, like, okay, well, that's the law that, you know, that supersedes the old law. Except they put in there that it doesn't. They're like, this doesn't change anything about this previous law.
Oh, shit.
So that's still good law, and they wrote it right in the statute. So the judges were like, well, that's what it says, so I guess this is the law now. Everybody is freaking out about this, including even Donald Trump, who was saying, like, that's too much.
Yeah.
He released a statement this week saying that he just wants, you know, the states to decide when, you know, who should be able to have abortions and when.
Yeah.
He's a big states' rights guy. But specifically on Arizona, he was like, that one's too much. Don't do that one.
And he also said that he would not sign a national abortion ban if anyone passed it while he was president.
Yeah, he says that. I mean, he's probably lying.
I don't think he's going to get elected anyway, thank God. But
I hope not.
Yeah.
I think he is. The prediction markets have him under 50%. Finally.
Okay, that's good. They're finally catching up with reality.
I mean, they're still not reflecting the polling, which still has Trump ahead.
He is doing a lot of, like, deferring to, like, whatever the states want, let the people rule themselves here, which I'm not sure how. For the most part, I'm on board with that, but there's some rights kind of I think you need for Western civilization to survive.
Yeah.
And abortion rights is one of them.
Yeah, I'm usually a big states' rights guy. But it always gets brought up on the worst issues.
Yeah.
You know, nobody's ever like states' rights on, you know, environmental impact statements. Or states' rights on school.
Yeah.
It's always like states' rights on fundamental liberties that, you know, we all thought were guaranteed in the Constitution.
Yeah. I mean, the thing that does, the wording choice that he used in one of his statements makes me, so I don't think he's going to be the president, so it doesn't particularly matter what he says in presidential regards, but I consider him like a bellwether of what a large section of the right thinks. And he said something along the lines of abortion is a decision for, like, the government should involve. It's a decision for your family. And that feels like very much like the kind of things that people would say back when the gay marriage tide was turning, where they wouldn't say, like, I'm against gay marriage, but they also wouldn't say I'm for gay marriage. They would be like, that's a personal choice. That's for you and your community decide or whatever. And if he's saying this about abortion as well, then it feels to me like it's a sign that the more right wing are like, we dislike abortion a lot, and we know some of our crazier areas are going to ban it, but we're going to basically look the other way while people go and get their abortions.
That would be better than, you know, not doing that.
Yes.
Let's see if Trump keeps saying that.
Okay.
Because the thing about Trump is he A/B tests a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, he does.
He says a lot of crazy stuff. Oh. And then, you know, whatever gets the loud cheers, that's what he keeps saying.
Yeah.
I expect he will try to just not talk about abortion.
Mm-hmm.
Because he knows it's a bad issue for him, and contrary to popular belief, he's actually a savvy politician.
Yeah.
So he's probably just going to try to avoid it. But if he keeps, I'm sure he'll have to issue a couple more statements during the campaign. If it's a similar sounding thing, then I'll believe that's a bellwether.
Here's a thought.
Yeah.
Isn't it maybe exactly how democracy is supposed to work, that you do a lot of A/B testing, and whichever gets the most cheers, you go with? Like, isn't that just what voting was supposed to be?
Yeah, kinda.
Okay.
I mean, that's fine. I don't think it's wrong to do that.
Yeah. So he could be our most democratic president, in fact.
Yeah. There's two schools of thought on it. One is that you want your elected representatives to do the will of the people. Whatever the people want, that's what they should do. Right.
On the other hand, this is where we link David's favorite video where the Ayatollah goes, but the people are retarded.
Yeah. But the other school isn't even that. It's that, you want a politician who has principles that and is trustworthy and that the people trust, and you have them make the decisions.
Yeah, that's the better way to do things.
you know, populism versus, I don't know, elitism?
Republicanism? Like in the classical sense of the term republic?
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe there's no term for that. Epistocracy.
Ooh. Did you just make that up?
No, that's a different thing.
Ah, okay.
Well, I think David could tell you all about it, but he's not here.
You can Spinoza that word and reuse it for a better thing.
I'm not going to do that.
No.
That would be dumb.
That's your loss.
And lame. And it would make me a loser.
Well, you know who's not a loser?
Who is not a loser?
A friend of the podcast, Yassin Meskhout.
Why does my outline say that he is no longer white?
Remember when we had him, was it? Oh, shit. Now I don't remember if it was when we had him on this podcast or when he appeared on The Basin Conspiracy. But he talked about the official government demographics and how he is considered white in the census because there was no category for Arab Americans.
Interesting.
We joked that this was a podcast with three white guys, as they all are.
Oh, but not anymore?
Not anymore. Yassin, unfortunately, is no longer white.
Sorry, Yassin. Got to give their white card back.
Yeah, no more white privilege for you.
All right, what happened?
The U.S. is changing how it categorizes people by race and ethnicity.
Oh, joy.
That's a thing we want the government to do, right?
This sounds fun.
We should always categorize all our people by races and ethnicities and religions. We got to keep tabs on those things.
Well, how else do we know who should win in a conflict?
Exactly. The government is adding a Middle Eastern and North African heritage thing to the census and to the official ways it counts people on forms. And you will be able to identify as specific subpopulations of that as well.
How fun.
Yeah.
I hate this.
Oh, yeah, me too. And not just because Yassin is my white brother anymore.
I read a thing about this that was like, so the whole reason anyone cares about Latinos is because that's a category on the census.
Mm-hmm.
And so they have this data about Latinos, and people use it all the time. And they're like, oh, let's see what the Latinos are up to.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, there's no category for Middle Easterners. So it's like not an issue in American society. Like, when's the last time you heard anyone talk about Middle Easterners? Like, think of all those times people are like, this affects black and brown communities disproportionately.
Right.
Like, or like, talks about, you know, Hispanics voting for Trump.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever heard him mention Middle Easterners?
I have not.
No, of course not, because they don't know what's going on with Middle Easterners, because we don't collect that data.
Right. They were a secret fifth column within our population.
So now all this is going to mean is that now when everyone talks about, you know, race stuff and Latinos, now they're going to start talking about Middle Easterners too.
Yeah. One final interesting side effect of all this is that under Middle Easterner, there's also a subcategory for Israeli. So I guess now we will have official government tabs on the Jewish people in our population, which has never gone wrong.
Well, that's fun.
Yeah. But I guess... I guess not the Jewish people who've been here long enough that they're basically white.
So, well, yeah, but we can be like, so are you of Israeli descent, if you know what I mean?
Oh, I'm of Israeli descent.
The government wants to know.
You know what? I'm of Hispanic descent in the streets, but of Israeli descent in the sheets.
Could not fathom what that would mean.
Yeah, you'll find out at Vibe Camp.
Oh, no. I just remembered I can't go.
Okay.
All right. Inyaj, what is this nonsense you have on here about the eclipse?
Wes, did your eye sustain permanent damage when you looked at the eclipse?
Of course not.
Okay, mine neither.
And I definitely looked at the eclipse without glasses.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Because you can't see it with glasses.
Right. And because it's just the corona.
Right. You use the glasses until the totality, and then you just look at the sun, and it's fine.
Exactly. And it's actually kind of cool. It's just this freaking hole drilled out of the sky.
Yeah, you can tell it's fine because it doesn't hurt your eyes.
Yes. Well, this was noticed by a friend of the pod, Jennifer, who talked afterwards about all leading up to the eclipse. There was constantly things like, stay away from the eclipse, it's going to be a shit show, there's going to be so many people, the traffic is going to be terrible, and it's going to be awful anyway because the clouds are coming and everyone's going to get rained out. Like, nothing but bad things.
Did you see the schools freaking out?
No, what'd the schools do?
The schools are all, like, closing early for the eclipse.
Okay.
Because it's, but like for safety reasons.
What?
Because I think they think the kids are going to look up at it and burn their eyes out, and then the school will be responsible. Oh my God. They're like, let's just send them home and let the parents deal with it.
I mean, I'm all for sending them home, but that's because the eclipse is awesome.
Yeah.
And you shouldn't be in school for it. That's
or
weird.
Anything.
Yeah. But, you know, all the news was basically the things that make people scared and panicky, because that's what news is.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was fine. The traffic was, you know, worse than normal, but it wasn't a huge issue. There was no apocalypse. The weather was actually delightful throughout most of totality, which was pretty cool. And afterwards, the news was, I guess, deciding, what can we do to keep the negative vibes going? And they're like, ah, you know what? Our next article is, how can you tell if your eye sustained permanent damage from looking at the eclipse? Like, even just like seeing an awesome thing in the sky, they had to find something terrible and negative to put about it, and it made her laugh a lot. That's the news, and news is always awful unless you're listening to The Mind Killer, because we rock.
Here's the question: can you see?
I can see, yeah.
Can you see just as well as you could before the eclipse?
As far as I can tell.
Good news, no eye damage.
Right.
This article you linked, the phrasing is just perfect.
Yeah.
It's like, while many wore protective glasses, some ignored safety guidance and watched with their bare eyes.
Oh my God.
Did you watch the eclipse with your bare eyeballs? Your filthy, uncovered eyeballs, yeah. Eniash.
I'm constantly just... yeah, barebacking the sun with my eyes.
Oh my God, you sicken me, sir.
You know what? That's my kink. Don't judge.
This is the next line. Staring directly at the sun during a solar eclipse, or at any other time, can lead to permanent eye damage.
Yeah.
Okay, the eclipse is only safe to witness with the naked eye during totality, which, that's... So you saw the eclipse, right?
Yeah.
And, like, did you look up when it wasn't the totality?
I mean,
like, did you look at the sun?
I every now and then, I glanced up for, like, the briefest second without my glasses on. I was like, ooh, ow, that was stupid.
Right. You, like, you can't.
Yeah.
It's like trying to look at the sun normally. You just instinctually, flinch away from it.
Yeah.
So what is this even talking about?
They, again, just want to spread fear and panic.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
How to know if your eyes are damaged. I love it that the symptoms are all like, you can't see that well. Blurred vision. Oh geez. I have blurred vision after staring at the sun. I wonder if my eyes are damaged. Thanks, NBC. Oh man. What a joke.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let it be known that the mind killer does not fear monger. And we say, go ahead and look at the sun.
That's right. Do what you want.
We're not your mom.
Yeah, I've heard if you just look at it for a split second every few days, you can build up eye calluses over time.
Yeah, the eye calluses sometimes cause blurred vision. But don't worry, it's just your eyes getting stronger.
That's right.
All right. All right, next story, student loan forgiveness. Back on the menu, boys.
No.
Yeah. So remember student loan forgiveness?
How could I forget? Declared
unconstitutional?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're giving it another shot.
I mean, they did it anyway. There was like $140 billion of student forgiveness that they went through with despite the unconstitutional
But not
part.
Mine.
Oh, not yours?
No.
Oh.
I still owe the same amount. It's bullshit.
That is bullshit. Is it because well, you were actually kind of paying off your interest and stuff?
No, it's just because I'm not on one of the, like, special means-tested programs they actually put in.
You can pretend you're from the Middle East soon, and then you, too, will be on those lists.
I don't think that's how it works, but I'll give it a shot.
Okay.
So Biden announced, like, more stuff he's doing that's probably unconstitutional again.
Dude,
And he's like, no, we got it this time.
Yeah. I read those, like, first of all, the wording is the most interesting thing. They choose things like runaway interest to mm-hmm. to talk about people who have not been making their payments, and so their balance goes up.
No, Ineaj. Yeah. See, this is why you don't have any sympathy for these people.
Okay.
Because this is not referring just to people who have not been paying. I've been paying my student loans since I graduated law school in 2010.
Yeah.
They are still the same amount.
So you've been...
I still owe the same amount, despite making the monthly payment that they asked for every month for 13 years.
This sounds like you're only paying the interest then.
No. What's happening, they front load the interest.
Okay.
So I've been paying off the interest, but now the interest is all paid off, and now I'm paying off the principal.
Oh, that's a weird way to do it, but I guess that works
too. Aren't you a real estate guy? That's how all mortgages do it.
No, that's not how mortgages do it.
No. That's how mortgages used to do it. They must have outlawed that because it's bullshit.
It is. Well, I mean, I guess. Why is it bullshit if you're paying the same amount of interest either way?
Because you're supposed to be able to pay less interest if you pay it off early.
Ah, good point.
The whole reason they do this is so if you pay it off early, you still have to pay all the interest as if you didn't.
Yeah, okay, you're right. That is complete bullshit.
Yeah, it's complete bullshit. But it's just like, you know, you don't have choice about which student loans you're going to get. It's either you get a loan or no loan.
Yeah.
It's not like you have multiple loans to choose from.
All right.
One of which is going to be bullshit and one of which isn't. So yeah, you should have some sympathy for these loan borrowers.
Fine.
Who, at age 18, don't understand what the fuck is going on with that.
We have been absolutely lying to everybody for decades.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think... the thing that annoys me is that it is not the universities that are being made to pay. Like the money should be coming from the universities that have been raping the people, as opposed to coming from the general taxpaying public at large.
Yeah. The universities have not been raping anybody.
Okay, they've been financially raping people.
I
didn't mean it literally.
I understand. I just don't think that's a very good metaphor for what's happening.
All right. Defrauding?
It's not even defrauding. Like, it's the loan. Like, it's the government that's doing the defrauding. They're the ones offering these loans, being like, yeah, we'll just give you the money.
You know what? You have won me over. Let's get rid of the government and the universities.
Oh, now Ineaj is an anarchist. It's finally happened.
The whole thing is a clusterfuck. I hope you get some money back, Wes.
I'm not going to.
The only
way I'm ever going to get money back is if they do, like, the just blanket forgiveness thing where they give everyone money back. If they do any kind of, like, special categories or anything, I'm not going to get it. I'm not in any of the categories.
I mean, that's the thing I really think they should do, because I am most incensed for the people that I know. One that I know very well that worked her fucking ass off so she would have no student debt.
I thought you meant me.
No, fuck you, man. No, you're awesome. But she worked her ass off and sacrificed so much of her life so she could come out of college without this crippling debt. Mm-hmm. And now it's like, why isn't she getting any money from the government for doing all that? She paid the same amount for her classes.
Ineaj. Yeah. What kind of reasoning is that?
That's the reasoning of fairness and equity.
Ew.
How about just fairness? Fuck equity.
I hate fairness.
No, you don't. You say you hate it.
I hate fairness as a terminal value.
Okay. How do you feel about justice?
Just as bad.
I thought you were a lawyer. Aren't you supposed to be pursuing justice?
I'm supposed to be.
Better call Wes.
Right? Where we don't care about justice.
No, I like...
But you can't, come on, what are you saying? Like, oh, well, we can't forgive this debt because then the people that paid off their debt will be jealous. Really? That's the reasoning?
I think that the people who are more responsible should not be punished for being more responsible.
They're not punished. They're in the exact same position.
They should be given...
It doesn't hurt them at all to pay off somebody else's loans.
First of all, yes, it does.
Oh, my God. You're like, oh, well, I'm a taxpayer.
Yeah, exactly. But more to point, they sacrificed a lot, and pretending that they didn't is...
No, Ineaj, again, they're not harmed by this.
You don't think...
The only harm is jealousy. All right, and I don't think that's a real harm. I think they should just not be jealous.
You know what? We will fight about this later because this is going on. But I have
all right. I accept your surrender
about sacrifices made in the past and how they should be treated. Not the past doesn't not matter.
I agree. The past doesn't not matter.
Okay.
But if your position is not changed at all, and somebody else gets something good, then I think you should just that does not hurt you.
Yeah. If in those words, yes, I would agree. But the thing is not that simple.
All right. Well, moving on to things that are simple. Sam Bankman-Fried is in jail and is going to be there for a while.
25 years, baby.
25.
Yeah.
There's not much more to this story. The judge was like, wow, you don't seem sorry at all. And, if we let you out, you're probably going to do this again.
Yeah. He's a fucking psychopath. Because
he's basically in court like, look, man, if we just had a few more months, we could have got everybody their money back. And I already got a couple plans, you know, for how we could just make all this money back.
Yeah.
And the judge is like, okay, you're going to jail and we're not letting you out until all your skills are obsolete.
I mean, I don't know. Some people are saying that it's been that 25 years is too many years. I think 25 is a darn good number for someone who is a complete psychopath and who did as much damage as he did. Like, you can total up damages in terms of dollars. And
yeah, I mean, I kind of agree with the judge. Like, if he seemed sorry at all,
mm-hmm.
I might be like, yeah, you know, like, he was a kind of a kid. He got in over his head.
Right, but he wasn't. Okay.
If he was like, man, yeah, I got it over my head. I really thought that nobody was going to lose any money and we could just, you know, move this money around the company and the investors would get back everything. Everyone would get back everything. It would all be fine. But now I understand, you know, why these regulations are there and
he
shouldn't do stuff like that. Like, then I'd be like, okay, like, I get it. Maybe, you know, give him a punishment, but you don't have to lock him away from society.
He's not going to do anything of value with his brain. Yeah. And honestly, probably the most valuable thing he can do now is serve as a object lesson to other people who might want to do this kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Fuck that guy.
Fuck that guy. He really didn't need to drag down effective altruism with him.
No.
You know, I have my issues with effective altruism, but they're better, way better than other altruism.
Yeah. I agree on both fronts.
So that's like, I say give him 25 years for that.
Yeah.
All right. Next story. Eniash, tell us about the European Court of Human Rights. What the hell is that?
It's a court that determines whether human rights are violated, sir.
I assume in Europe.
In Europe even, yeah.
Does anyone care about this court?
No, of course not. I'm about to tell you. I'm about to tell you one of the reasons why no one cares about this court.
Go for it.
This court ruled that Switzerland, the government of Switzerland, has failed to comply with its duties to combat climate change and meet emission targets, and that violates women's rights.
No, not Switzerland. Yeah. Isn't that where everyone goes to talk about climate change?
It's one of the places. Yeah.
Isn't that where Davos is?
It is indeed.
Well, no, then surely they would comply with their duties to combat climate change. Come on.
They have not been complying hard enough, sir, and that is a human rights violation.
Bummer.
Yeah.
But I love human rights.
You want to know the interesting part about how this happened?
Sure.
So the argument is that climate change is especially harmful for old people because old people are more likely to die of climate change. Which, first of all,
I really don't think that's true.
You don't think that old people are more likely to die of climate change?
No.
I think it's true that more old people are more likely to die of everything. But why?
So let's assume for a minute we're not reaching longevity escape velocity anytime soon.
Okay.
Everybody alive is going to die.
Yeah.
I would think that younger people have a much higher probability of dying due to climate change related things. Because climate change will probably be worse in the future, after all the current old people are dead.
I mean, if you were to have made that argument representing young people, they probably would have ruled for you as well, because they have a bottom line they're going for.
Can I get paid to do this? I am a lawyer.
In that case, probably yes.
Yes. All right, I'm doing it.
But you'd have to live in Switzerland.
No! But America is the best.
It is the best. That's why.
All right.
Yeah, gotta stay here. Sorry.
Canceled.
Not sorry, though. but it was a group of old women's a group representing old women that brought the suit. So that is why their argument was that the old are more harmed by this. It seems just like facile reasoning in the first place. But importantly, old people are not a protected group, so they can't have their human rights violated, I guess. So they went with the women part. The women's rights are being violated.
Wait, old people aren't a protected group?
I mean, not in terms of, like, can you do human rights crimes?
Right, whatever, like, this human rights treaty was.
Yeah. So they focused on the women part and said women's rights are being violated, despite the fact that it was the old part that was the crux of the argument.
Are you sure about that? Because I didn't find that in this article.
And that is what I read in at least one of these articles. I read more than one about it.
That's hilarious if that's true.
Yeah.
Also, I love that this linked article had to have a Greta Thunberg quote.
Oh, what
was it? Just because no, it's nothing. It's okay. Like, oh, yeah, these great ruling, everyone has to listen and do more about climate change. It's just like, you know, the AP's writing a story, so they're like, oh, it's climate change. Let's get a Greta. Let's ask Greta Thunberg what she thinks.
Yeah, well, you know, she is the celebrity, so everyone does want to hear about her.
Do they?
You know, it's not bad for getting the clicks.
All right. Yeah. It's just funny that it's like down at the very end of the article. Like people got down there and they're like, huh, I wonder what Greta Thunberg thinks about this.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there. Good. I'm glad they included this. All right.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like if we were talking about AI stuff, you wanted an Ineos opinion on something.
Well, I have on my outline here
yeah.
a headline that says blatant media censorship. Prominent mind killer Ineos no longer allowed to report on news of an artificially intelligent nature. Now, I assume this is referencing my ban on your boring incremental AI improvement stories that nobody likes and that you think are a big deal but aren't.
I am being censored. Y'all gotta help me send more money to the mind killer so that I can fight the censorship of my voice where I can no longer bring news about the AI improvements and progress towards doom that I guess Wes just doesn't want you to know about.
I really don't want you to know about it. And you don't want to know about it either because it's boring.
It's like you're the Fauci of the mind killer.
Fauci was trying to protect us from lies. I am doing a much nobler thing, trying to protect people from being bored
by you. That is, in fact, a much higher calling.
All right, but I've relented anyway, and I said you could cover this AI chip story, but you only have 30 seconds to do it, so go.
All right, 30 seconds. Meta, Google, Intel are all unveiling custom new AI chips that they are spending billions of dollars creating to make the AIs go zoom.
Hey, now it was NVIDIA basically made all the AI chips before this, right?
Yes.
And they're really just like GPUs?
Yeah.
From their video cards?
Basically, yes. There's some more high-performance chips. They're not just GPUs now. There's ones that are specifically made for AI and use a lot of electricity, but it started out with GPUs, and NVIDIA knows what they're doing.
Yeah, that makes sense that people are getting into this, because it's, like, very silly that we're using video cards to power the AIs.
Yeah, they use much beefier ones now.
Mm-hmm.
But, that was under 30 seconds.
All right, good. I'm sure everyone feels very enlightened by that. Let's get to the fun AI news about AI songwriting.
Which is legit amazing stuff that they're putting out.
It really is.
Yeah. We linked a Twitter thread that Udio put out showcasing some of their AI stuff.
Is this the one with the Dune musical?
I don't remember if this one has the Dune musical. This one has a lot of little samples of things.
You should Google Udio Dune musical because that one's great.
Yeah, if you find a genre of music that you like, they have like a dozen linked there and listen to it. Like I was surprised when their metal was just it was really fucking good. It's like wow, okay, yeah.
Well, was there anything in particular you liked?
I did. Well, okay. The Fuming Shoggoths over at Less Wrong produced an album called "I Am a Good Bing," and this happened like 4 days before Udio came out, so it used older software, which is not quite as good, but still produced a couple serious bangers.
I actually think the other one is better.
The Dune musical?
No, the other software.
Oh, really?
That's not Udio. I'm trying to remember what it's called.
Okay. So I haven't actually listened to any full songs from Udio, so maybe that is the case.
Well, I've been playing with them.
Ah, okay. Well, because I defer to you.
Yeah, but now I can't remember what the hell it's called. Oh, Suno.
Okay.
Suno AI. Yeah, I think I've found that one works better. It works a lot faster. first of all, so it's easier to use. But I have like a half-written rock musical.
Oh,
and but you're about... I don't know how to write music.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, all right, I've got all these lyrics, and I have like, you know, basic chord progressions and stuff, but you can't do that on the AI. So I just gave it the lyrics. I was like, told it like what style it should be in.
Mm-hmm.
And none of it was great. But it's still like pretty good. Still like way better than I could do.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like if I can, you know, if I can find the right prompt, then I'll be able to make it awesome. Because some of those Les Wrong songs were pretty good.
Oh yeah, the Litany of Tarski was great.
That was great. It's a sea shanty.
And Nihil Supernum was really good too. Just I preferred it, honestly.
It's just the Nihil Supernum poem in Latin and English, but it's like this electronic techno beat, and this it sounds like Rammstein. I actually played it for Gina, and she was like, "Oh yeah, that could be a Rammstein song."
Awesome.
And it does get stuck in your head.
Yeah.
I'm like, man, those are badass lyrics.
Yeah.
And it's to a good beat.
It was it was the best April Fool's thing to come out of Les Wrong so
That's
far.
Right.
I
it
think.
Was the April Fool's post.
It's interesting because like it's a legit.
And I'm like,
album.
Right? It's not a joke. It's
yeah.
good.
Yeah.
It's good music.
So yeah, that is the AI news for this fortnight.
All right. See, that was way better than the normal AI news.
Okay.
I'm glad I've been censoring you.
Oh man. More censorship. Send Wes money.
That's right. Send subscribe on Substack if you support Eniash, and subscribe on Substack if you support me.
Oh, brilliant!
Don't worry, we'll be able to tell.
Yeah.
All right, Eniash, you got more news about your boyfriend Elon Musk?
Yeah, he's standing up to the Brazilian Supreme Court now, which is awesome.
Oh God, what are they doing? Why is he in the Brazilian Supreme Court?
Well, the Brazilian Supreme Court said that a number of accounts had to be blocked because they had their own January 6th last year, which happened on January 8th, I believe.
Well, that's not really January 6th, is it, Eniash?
Well, we got to get our terminology right. And so a number of accounts that were involved with that, they said, these are getting shut down. They're not allowed to broadcast. And Musk basically said, you know what? No, I do what I want. And I have reactivated these accounts because
hey,
that is unconstitutional.
You don't tell me who to ban. I tell me who to ban.
Right. And he also called for the judge who made the ruling to resign or be impeached.
Hey.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty easy to call for. Can he do that?
No. What is he? A Brazilian? Actually, is he a Brazilian?
I mean, he was briefly the world's richest man. I don't think he is anymore, but he still has many, many monies.
That doesn't make you Brazilian, though.
No, but it can, like, make things happen in the world.
I suppose. I think he's busy enough going to space and making cars and batteries and putting chips in people's heads.
I'm saying, if he really wanted the judge impeached, he could probably make it happen.
Maybe.
Yeah, Eniash, this is why people are always yelling at you about inequality being bad.
I really don't know if he could make a judge be impeached.
Well, of course he could.
You can't just buy an impeachment.
No, but you can buy media to convince people to impeach a judge.
Look,
you could dig up dirt on him. You could pay investigators. You can just make up fake stuff and send it out to everyone in Brazil and be like, this guy's got to go, and put it on TV and on the internet and everywhere.
I suppose if you invested a ton of resources into it and energy, you could force the other side to also invest resources and energy in defending themselves. So yeah, that would
be less than ideal. Yeah, except Elon Musk has more money than Brazil.
Hey, I don't think he cares that much. Like,
yeah, I'm just saying, if he did, he could make it happen.
If he did, it might be legitimate.
I'm not saying it's not legitimate.
Okay.
I'm just saying, money makes things happen, Eniash. I don't know if you know this.
I have my doubts.
All right. Well, is there more to this story, or is that it?
If they fail to comply with the order, they could be, by they I mean Twitter, or now X, could be fined 100,000 Brazilians, which is...
Wait, is that the real money?
No, it's reais. I didn't know how to pronounce it, so I was going to pretend. Yeah, I hope you didn't call me on it.
100 Brazilian reais.
Yes, 100,000, which is 20,000 US per day. And I don't know. I don't know what's going to come of it. I'm assuming that they will not want to spend the resources needed to fight it, and either Twitter will be blocked in Brazil, or these few accounts will be blocked in the end.
Yeah, I feel like that is a typical Elon thing to do. You'd be like, "We're taking a stand." You'd be like, "All right, yeah. we got our good headlines now. Never mind."
Yeah, that is what I expect.
All right, this is our last story in new news.
Yes.
My outline here says, wokeism has gone too far. Harvard removes book bound in human skin.
Yeah. I mean, I certainly was not a fan of wokeism before this, but they have now removed a book bound in human skin from Harvard.
See, you let them take out the racist books, and soon they're taking out the skin books.
Right? The awesomest books of all. First of all, think of the dude that gave up his skin for that book to be bound in it.
Did he give it up, or was it taken?
I mean, maybe he signed a thing before he died saying, "Please use my skin for this." Regardless, like, it's an awesome thing.
This is a 19th century book. I assumed it would be older.
No, it's such a cool artifact, and they're like, "I'm sorry, we can't have cool shit in the world."
It was taken. It said he's bound the book with skin he took without consent from the body of a deceased female patient in a hospital where he worked.
Okay, and you know what? I revoke my objections. If it was a female patient, then obviously.
Oh, no. We covered that story earlier. We already know you hate women.
What? No.
Well, you don't think they should be specially protected from climate change.
You know what? Just the old ones.
Well, this might have been an old woman. You don't know.
She probably was, actually.
Probably not. Their skin's terrible. You want the good young skin.
Oh, man. Is that why they were sacrificing virgins?
Maybe.
Point is, this was an awesome thing, and I don't know why they took it away. I mean, I guess you know I do why. Know why. Yeah, and it's stupid, and we should kick them out of all of society forever, because we...
Because it was non-consensual.
This is why we can't have cool things. And no, it's not because it was non-consensual.
No,
she was
I guarantee
dead.
You. No, I guarantee you that's why.
Oh, come on. Dead people can consent to very little.
What are you talking about? You don't, because you're a terrible person, mm-hmm. but I have a little thing on my driver's license that says organ donor. That is me consenting to have people take my organs after I'm dead.
Yeah, you're consenting to that while you're alive.
Right. This woman didn't consent to have her skin used. That's why they're pissed off.
Was she going to use it for anything else?
No, but people still care about that.
I think if her family cared, they could have done something about it 200 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, I don't care.
Okay.
I think we should just non-consensually take all the parts of the dead people.
Exactly.
But other people care, and I guarantee you that that's why they're pissed off about this, and that's why it was removed.
Yeah.
It's the non-consensual skin removal. It's not the skin itself.
Just saying. Super dumb.
All right. Well, also, let's go find someone. Let's go find someone to donate their skin and then rebind this book and put it back.
Actually, that would be really cool.
Right? We're like, no, it's a consensual skin book.
Yeah.
We fixed it.
We did. The
Maybe you could bind a copy of your novel in skin.
Oh, my God. Oh, you should do my it. God. I absolutely would.
Oh, my God. So find a skin donor or get a bunch of people to donate just a little skin.
I don't think that would work. It has to be one single piece of skin, doesn't it?
Well, I mean, depends on how you want your binding to be. It could be like grotesquely stitched together like Frankenstein.
Huh. I don't know if that worked for a binding, but maybe.
Of course it would work for a binding. Why wouldn't it work for a binding? It'd be good for your book. It's pretty goth.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's horror set in ancient Rome. It would be perfect. Yeah. All right.
Yeah, it's got a lot of... doesn't it have like body horror in there?
Yes.
Yeah, so you should get stitch together a bunch of skin and bind your book in it.
All right. If anybody knows somebody who would want to donate their skin and might die in the near future, I know that's really morbid. First of all... First of all, I would strongly encourage them to get cryogenically preserved because I would like to see them in the future. But if for whatever reason they don't want to do that, then this is a great thing to do with your skin.
You could probably do cryo and donate skin. Because they do those head ones.
That's true. If
someone's giving a head thing. You can't donate your organs with those because I think they have to like pump chemicals into your body.
Yeah.
But the skin should still be good if you just want to make leather out of it.
Ooh, maybe. You don't think the skin might get fucked up by the... Well, I mean, I don't know. We'd have to ask the people.
Yeah, what do I know?
Yeah. I don't know why I was asking you.
Because you're used to me knowing everything.
I am. That's what I turn to for all my answers in life. It's actually this worked. One,
I do not have leather working or embalming. Or it wouldn't be embalming. It would be like cryopreserving. I don't know anything about either of those things.
I do know a couple leather workers, so I'll see.
All right. Well, you should ask them.
Yeah. I will say that generally my asking you whenever I want to know anything has worked out really well so far, and I'm going to keep doing it.
Well, I do have, I can make up a good answer if I don't know it.
Yeah. And so far, they've been great.
Right? And the answer for this one is yes, you can use the skin.
Awesome.
All right. Well, since we're already having a good time, let's move on to happy news.
Good news, everyone.
Maniash, what is our first piece of happy news?
Synchron is a new company that is a Neuralink rival.
Ooh.
Yeah.
You could get brain chips from two different companies?
You can. And
all right. Give me them both.
One in the left brain, one in the right brain. We can see which side of your brain is better.
Yeah. And then, maybe you can turn one off at a time and do those, half-split brain experiments. Oh, man, that'd be awesome.
Oh, my God. That would be so cool.
Right?
Yeah.
Future is the best.
It is. But, yeah, I'm happy about this, in part because future is the best, and also because having more than one company is great. It keeps them honest. It makes them, hopefully it keeps them honest, but...
Yeah, unless it's Uber and Lyft.
Yeah, yeah. But always having competition is good.
All right. Next happy news, Lumina Probiotic, which we've covered before. That's the one that gives you the bacteria to rub on your teeth that supposedly prevents tooth decay.
Yes.
It's available for pre-order in the United States.
Yes.
They'll just ship it to you.
It was previously only available in Prospera or Prospera. I never know where to put the emphasis.
Prosper.
Prosper.
Yeah. Okay. Remember we did a whole bonus episode about this?
I don't remember anything. I do remember that we did it, but I don't remember the details of many things.
And yeah, we had a whole conversation about how to pronounce it. It's Prospera.
Okay, Prospera. The awesome free state or free city down in South America. You'd have to fly down there, and it cost $20,000 or something to do it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Ayla paid $10,000 or $20,000 to do it.
Holy crap. But she actually just recently posted on her Twitter that... It's all anecdotal right now, but it seems to be helping, so that's nice.
Mm-hmm. But it is not $10,000 to $20,000. It is $250.
So much better. You do not get a professional mouth technician, dentist. I don't know what they would call them down there.
Oral hygienist, maybe?
Oral hygienist. You don't get one of those to go in there and really scrub out your mouth and get all the shit off and apply it. With the exacting precision standards. But if you don't have $20,000, you can get the most of the effect yourself by giving your teeth a really good scrub with these things that they give you. Why are we shilling them? God damn it, we should have gotten paid for this.
Have you ordered one, Eniash?
I have not, because I've never had a cavity, so I don't really need it.
You've never had a cavity?
No.
You son of a bitch.
I have naturally cool bacteria in my mouth.
Ugh, I don't. I have pre-ordered it.
This is why I try to kiss a lot of people, so I can hopefully spread the bacteria.
You just see, but that's what I call cavities. Effective altruism.
Yeah, it's the best. Everyone profits.
You should have all your dates, scrub out their mouths first.
Ooh, that's not a bad idea.
Yeah, be like, look, your breath is fine, but I have great bacteria.
Mm-hmm.
Except that's not going to work for you. That's going to work for me because I have the actual good bacteria.
Right. Well, now you know what to say when you're really trying to get a lady in the mood.
Right? Be like, hold on, let's go to the bathroom real quick.
Open your mouth. I'm going to give your teeth a tongue-in.
Open your mouth. I've got something to go in there. It's this cleaning scrub.
Yay!
Let's get all the bacteria out of there. Okay, now we can make out.
I seriously feel really weird like we're doing a whole promotional bit and we're not.
What? This is an awesome product.
It is an awesome product.
We already reported on it.
We did. We should move on because I feel strange.
Eniash.
Yeah.
Would you relax? It's okay to talk about products we like.
It is, but it just feels so close to selling out. And I think
we're not getting paid.
I know.
It's only selling out if you're shilling a product you don't like for money, which I am definitely available for. If anyone has products they want me to sell for money.
Me too.
See, so what are you even worried about? No, that's why this feels bad, is because we're not getting paid.
I think the hipsters had it right. Selling out was a thing that we should have never embraced.
Well, nobody's hired us, so we haven't sold out yet.
All right.
We tried to sell out, but nobody's buying.
You hear us, Lumina? We're pimping you for free. We expect
yeah,
some
right?
kind of kick.
But if you want to do ads on our next show, you can get in touch with us at any of the links in the show notes.
Excellent.
All right. What else is happening that is cool?
We have the first FDA-approved AI tool that can diagnose sepsis.
What? How did we get FDA-approved AI tools? AI's only been a thing for, like, a year.
I guess because... Yeah, I don't know. I really have no idea how it happened so quickly.
It was approved through the FDA's de novo pathway, which means the agency has not approved anything like it before.
Yeah.
I guess that got them off their asses.
Yeah. I'd like this also because there's a lot of places that are now building custom AIs to do specific tasks very well, like diagnosing sepsis. We're kind of entering an era of a lot of custom-built specialized AIs, which, obviously, we're going to get a lot of that before we get a big general AI, and maybe we won't ever get a big general AI, and this stuff is really fucking awesome because it does a lot of good things for us.
Oh, man. I can't wait for an AI secretary. It's going to be awesome.
Oh, yeah. Wait, but then what will Roxy do?
Manage the AIs.
Okay, cool.
That's what kids need to know in the future anyway.
That's a good point. And I wasn't trying to imply that she would be a secretary. I just meant, during her internship phase in her
No, she's the paralegal. A paralegal and a legal secretary are somehow different.
Okay. Well,
don't ask me to explain how.
Good.
All right. And we have dog news.
Yes. In dog news, a robot dog averted bloodshed.
A robot dog?
Yeah. They sent a robot dog in to where this guy was hanging out with a rifle and refusing to come out, and he shot the robot dog a few times, but that was fine because it's a robot dog.
Sesame Street has a whole song about robot dogs.
Really?
Yeah, but you wouldn't know anything about it because you don't have a four-year-old.
No, I do not.
But I'm just singing it to myself in my head.
You should maybe link it or play a few seconds of it in the episode.
I'll consider it.
That's how you build a robot dog. That's how you build a robot. That's how you build a robot dog.
Okay.
All right. Well, that brings us to troop deployments.
I'm willing to put wave after wave of men at your disposal.
As we all know, politics is the mind killer and arguments are soldiers. So in that spirit, we ask each of our hosts, only two of us this week, to send a soldier out onto the battlefield each episode. And we have no David, so we'll start with Iniash.
Okay, this is condensed down from a post on my blog, which most of these actually are nowadays. There's a phenomenon I've seen that some people are calling not getting the joke. There's many beliefs out there that are aspirational, and everyone knows that saying, I believe this thing, and really means it would be good if this was true, and acting like it is will help us get there, so we're all going to pretend that it is as much as possible in order to make that happen. And I do think that's actually good in a lot of cases. In fact, I now believe that's what most intelligent religious people are doing. But children, or people who are autistic, and especially children that are autistic, simply don't get this. They don't get that everyone knows it's not real. They just believe what they hear everyone saying. Thus, they don't get the joke. It becomes reality to them, or in my case, to us, to me. Anna Salomon recently posted Believing In on Less Wrong. It's a hugely upvoted post, and it interrogates this concept of believing in things, and concludes that this concept is usually not a literal belief, but more of an aspirational bet, and a statement that I believe X will yield good returns if resources are invested in it, combined with a willingness to signal that you are investing such resources and urging others to do the same. I think, that obviously this is good. Having a target and acting as if that target is true has positive outcomes in many ways, in many places. And therefore, I believe that fighting to be as honest as possible will yield good returns if resources are invested into it. And I have a vision of a world where acknowledging openly and explicitly that we are acting as if something is true without it actually being true is far more acceptable than just pretending it's true. I would have really liked when I was younger to have known that these things that people say are true are in fact aspirational beliefs that we are all pretending are true, rather than them literally being true. That would have made such a big difference to me, and I am okay pretending that things are true when they have good consequences. So, yes, acknowledging that the reality of a situation doesn't match what we aspire to shouldn't matter, and hopefully we will get there someday. I will behave as if this is true, because acting like it is will help us get there, and that would be a better world.
All right. Thank you, Eniash. My troop deployment for this episode is the Eclipse's Rule. Now, you're getting this episode late because we were all out seeing the eclipse. We all made it to the totality, and it was awesome. I saw the last eclipse up in Montreal, and it was only a partial eclipse there. I thought it was cool. It's like, you know, the moon moves across the sun and blots it out a little bit. That's pretty cool. You put on these special glasses, you can see it going on. The totality is completely different. It is like a light switch gets turned off. The tiny, tiny little sliver of sun that remains right before the totality sheds so much light. And when it is gone, it is like instantaneous. It's dark. It's cold. There is a sunset all 360 degrees around you. You can look up without your glasses, as we covered earlier, and see just this ring around the sun. This time we got to see a prominence, which was like a red streak coming out of the sun that normally you can't see, but the moon was blocking all the light, so you could see it with your bare eyes. It was just a red thing coming out of the sun. It's awesome. And it was, you know, I saw it in a big group of people that everyone like cheered and was happy. Somebody nearby shot off fireworks. So I recommend next time you have the opportunity, go be in the totality. It is an awesome experience. Now, you won't get the chance in the United States for another 20 years, but there are eclipses happening all around the world. And I think it's definitely worth traveling for.
Awesome.
All right, that's our show for this fortnight and a few days. Please follow us wherever you follow podcasts. Please subscribe on Substack. You'll get our episodes early, you'll get access to bonus episodes, and you'll get into our subscriber-only Discord channel where you can nerd out with us about eclipses.
Hell yeah.
Come back in 2 weeks, same rat time, same rat channel.
Bye.